welcome to episode 54 of the Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, wars, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Iron Agenda, the podcast that just recorded for 2 hours, found an Audacity error, and is now re-recording. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Tim.
You know, our first introduction was about 15 times funnier.
But it was also about a computer that went wrong.
It is. So, between my spare computer going down, your laptop, and now my main computer throwing an error 2 hours into recording, it's a great day for IT here in St. Louis.
It's audacious.
So, we got some good and bad news.
What's the good news?
Well, the good news is we're going to try and get through at least some of another episode.
Awesome.
Bad news is we don't have time to record another full thing.
That's right. It was going pretty good, too.
We had some really cool topics, and we'll talk about them next week.
Yeah, we'll have to repeat. Actually, hey, I have an idea for next week's episode. Just
yeah,
what we
good
talked
idea.
About.
Oh my god, it's amazing.
We can get, but anyway, so here's the problem. We're re-recording this because, well, we lost our first one, and we don't have time, especially because Josh has to get the heck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to have him stay real quick to talk about the contest that we were announcing,
right.
Mainly because it's his shit we're giving away.
Yes, it is my shit.
And then Tim and I are going to stick around and redo the tactical discussion.
But don't worry, Josh's shit does not stink.
Nope.
Well, no shit stinks to me.
That's right. You were born without a sense of smell.
Yep.
Good job, Dave.
My other senses are heightened.
Are they?
And selective, if you ask Laura.
Like you're hearing?
Exactly. All right, so Josh, why don't you hit us with the contest?
Next month is War Machine Weekend down in Springfield, Missouri. It's going to be held at the Game Expo. And Carl Morgan is running that as usual. And you can actually find his blog on the Iron Agenda Blogging Network if you look for him. You can find more information about War Machine Weekend. The point, though, is that he's going to have a tournament that's built around theme armies. People will bring a theme army, paint it, have a little bit of fluff behind it, and so on.
It's Sunday, and I don't know if painting is a requirement or not.
I believe, well, it was at one point. It could be now.
I
don't know.
I think it's going to be scored very similar to, for those who are familiar with the Rogue Trader Games Workshop
he did say
tournament
that, yeah.
system. So painting is not a requirement, but you get bonus points for having
okay.
a painted force.
So you should probably paint it if you want to try to win.
It's actually, I always enjoyed the Rogue Trader system because they had a lot of cool things. Like one of the favorite things that I always enjoyed is that they had the pub quiz in between. So it was always like fluff questions and stuff. You know me, yeah. I'm always a sucker for that.
No, I think it's still going to be, I think it's going to be like a paired Swiss pairing kind of thing. And whoever wins, wins. But there's also other awards, who has the best theme and so on. And so we want to have a little contest.
What do we have to give away?
What we have to give away is a print, a piece of artwork that Chris Johnson, a.k.a. Explosivo, drew up for last year and the year before that. And this particular one is a print of Sorsha in sort of like a dead snowy wood with Frostfang looking over her shoulder. It's a pretty cool looking print. Nice piece of art. And we're giving my copy away because I don't have any place to put it.
Okay.
So what we want you guys to do is come up with a cool theme for your army. It doesn't have to be an army list. It could be as little or as fleshed out as you want it to be. And we just want you to send them in to contact@ironagenda.com, and we'll randomly pick one to win. But the cooler ones we'll talk about on the show. So if you have a particular piece of fluff that you want to build an army around, send in that idea, and we'll put it out there for everybody to see.
Yep,
but we'll just randomly pick one, though, for the winner.
Yep, and we don't want to we can't include suggestions that are, the Umber Guard.
Right, right.
So we don't want you to take one that's
Pre-existing,
like Special Force or whatnot. And to come with anything, you don't have to tell us the entire army. I mean, you could say, like Tim's done this a lot, you could say, I'm going to build an army with Grey Lords and Zarkova and whatever else.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can tell us a little bit of why you're selecting that and what you put in it. You could stat out the whole list if you want, but you don't have to.
Right. But the more information you have that's fleshed out, the more likely we'll talk about that one on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But every entry will be, as long as it's not the Umber Guard or something like that, every entry will be entered into the contest to be chosen randomly.
Right. And by the way, when we say don't just say the Umber Guard, we also mean, like, don't say the Protectorate Flame Guard forces that were defending the Temples of Sul during the Caspia Sul incursions, because that's the Umber Guard. But, come up with something, whatever you want. And it doesn't even have to be something from Fluff. You could say all calf models.
Mm-hmm.
And that would qualify.
Sure.
Or you could say all things with more than two legs. I'm not sure how you'd make that work, but
I'm going to make a three-legged army.
That would be awesome. It averages out to three legs per model.
Well, it's Kaya, and I'm going to chop a leg off of all of her Arguses.
All right.
You got like 30 of them.
I own 12.
Ooh.
You need to make the more heads than bodies army.
Morehead. Yeah, well, that's easily done.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's our contest.
Yep. And it'll run until, I guess, right before War Machine Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That way, nobody's idea of a theme army will spill out into the public, and nobody will be able to cheat and grab your cool idea. We've already got our ideas, so no harm there.
Well, what we might even do is we will try and contact the winner beforehand and maybe even deliver it at War Machine Weekend.
Oh, that would be really cool.
If you're not, you know, we'll send it to you. Don't worry. There's no worries there. But maybe during the War Machine Weekend episode, whatever we do, that's when we'll talk about the themes.
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's our contest. So. Just send us in. Tell us whatever you think's cool, and we will tell you how much we agree with you. And then now we're going to kick Josh out because Josh has to go home.
I have to go home. We're going to the pet store.
What are you getting? A pet?
No, I'll tell you what, though. For all the single guys out there, if you want to pick up ladies, you get yourself a cute little cat, you train it to walk on a leash, and then you just spend a little bit of time at PetSmart. You will be hit on.
So using the... Never mind.
Which PetSmart?
Any PetSmart or Petco, even.
Can I borrow your cat?
Sure.
Awesome.
Okay, I got to say it. So you're going to use pussy to get the pussy?
I'm not, because I'm already married. But for all the single guys out there, apparently it works.
Hmm.
So that's that.
If I didn't think all cats were evil, I'd probably,
Here, Josh, hold this. I'm married too. Hold this for me. I gotta go.
Dave's trying to hand me his wedding ring. Anyway, I gotta go. I'll see you guys.
See you later.
See ya.
And Josh, we will see you Wednesday.
Yes, we will.
All right. Dave, it's a Dave and Tim show. Jason's not with us.
He's off doing intern errands.
Well, as the only person who is not an intern on the show currently...
Oh, that's how it is, huh, Dave?
Oh, yeah, it is. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about tactics. But before we do, we're going to talk about a 1-1-1-1 tournament that we had a couple weeks ago. Tim wasn't there, but I was. I actually did a write-up of how every round went for me and that kind of stuff. It's going to be posted on my blog Monday. But I kind of want to mention this because one thing I mentioned was I actually played new players in my first two rounds. And I thought this was actually a pretty decent tournament format for a person's first tournament. I hadn't really thought about it from this perspective before, but like at least one of the guys had never played a unit before.
And that's so interesting.
He had a Mauler, a Fellcaller, five champions, and then he had Grimm and Madrak. He just switched to Warcaster. It was a two-list, 1-1-1-1 tournament.
Right.
And basically it was a good format for him to do his first experience with a unit. And we did do time turns. We had like either 5 or 7 minute turns. We did really quick. But, like, the guys that I played were new, were all able to keep up, and it wasn't a problem.
That's good.
Because they only had to, you were introduced to both the tournament scene and how units kind of worked. Now, granted, it wasn't their first time ever seeing the rules for units.
Right.
But it was his first time actually using them.
So, well, yeah, there's a big difference between reading the rules and actually wrapping your head around them on the table. I know sometimes I'll read a rule 3 or 4 times, and I'll be like, you know, I'll scratch my head and look at it. But then once I actually put it on the table, I'm like, okay, now it makes sense. Sometimes I need that extra visual
and the order of operations and how it actually uses it. Makes it go. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should ever use a tournament to learn to play the game. But I'm just saying, though, that if there's a tournament that was the most accommodating for new players trying out stuff, I think this is probably the best format for it.
Well, and, you know, we locally I would say almost not necessarily every 6 months, but every 6 months to about a year in that range, we have our Youngblood tournament for new people to get into the tournament scene. This is a nice alternate format for people that don't necessarily want to play like a full 500 point or 750.
Plus you get to
tournament.
Play vets too.
You get to play veterans, which I have always found to be invaluable as much as playing a bunch of new people is, you know, you can always ask them, you know, well, you know, what did you think of my list? Or, you know, is there anything that I could have done differently during the game? Or, you know, just, you get general opinions from people who've been playing a lot longer.
You know, I think I've made this analogy before. I may have at least told the story. I'm not sure. But back when I was learning to play racquetball in around junior high, my dad was teaching me. My dad was actually a pretty solid racquetball player. I mean, we're not talking pro level, but he was pretty good. And he never, ever took it easy at all on me. I think I lost my first games like 21-2, 21-1, 21-3. I mean, he stomped me. And, you know, eventually I got better. I learned to play. And I got pretty decent. And my senior year of high school, we had kind of like our senior lock-in at a local sports complex called, okay. I think it was called Project Graduation. And basically, we got locked in. There was volleyball, soccer, tournaments, and just open play. There was a swim pool and racquetball stuff. And so I played racquetball most of the night. And I got to put smack down on some classmates.
Oh,
and it was awesome. And so basically the point is, though, I learned really well by not giving any breaks. I wasn't introduced to War Machine in this manner, but I think that it's an interesting manner. Now, there is a counterpoint to this, and that is you can get discouraged by getting spanked.
This is very true.
So I'm not saying you should beat the crap out of someone,
I can say that I, my, you know, when I started playing, it was just, as the community was growing from almost nothing. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, I really did learn a lot. Every event that I played in, you know, I'd come in third occasionally, sometimes second. It also depended a lot on, you know, who else was playing, but you know, DC, who now works for Privateer, I played with him on a weekly basis for about 2 or 3 years, either at an event or at the store. And I, you know, it, there is something to, you know, on my best day, I probably, you know, I may, if I was lucky, I may have gone 50-50 with him in the entire span of, you know, you had to be on your best day and him to make a mistake for, you know, for you to come out on top. And sometimes even that didn't matter.
Right.
You know, it just really depended. And there is something to be said about learning from losing a lot. I've learned so much.
But
from
you have to
games.
Be the kind of person who's willing to lose.
This is true. This is very true.
I mean, if a new person comes to your community and is getting discouraged by losing, you can't go for the throat consistently and expect it to. And that's the other thing. I mean, you don't necessarily go for the throat.
No,
but
no.
You don't give them any quarter.
Right. You know, you don't necessarily have to play your top tier list, especially right. If you know the person's new. You can show them maybe if your alternate list is something that's, you know, a little. I don't say subpar, but not necessarily, you know, the greatest list, something you enjoy to play. You can show them some stuff that people, you know, they haven't necessarily seen and still enjoy the game, even though you might be, you know, whooping them pretty easily.
That's probably a decent transition into our tactical discussion, which we were going to talk about the 2-1-1-1-1 lists that I put together. And it actually is kind of going to what you were talking about. My first list, I will start with, was actually a list that I played in the later rounds. Which was, I wanted a pretty competitive, solid protector at 1-1-1-1 tournament. So I decided, especially because I didn't know how much hordes I was going to be playing, to take Fiora. I wanted her to be able to camp on 90% of her focus, so I took an Avatar.
It's just wrong.
It is. And then for solos, I thought about going with Vilmon, but instead I went with the Vassal. Mainly for Enliven on the Avatar, because I could hopefully bait another heavy, step away from it, and then come back and kill it.
Right.
Which actually was able to happen. But with the remaining points, I decided, well, what the hell, Zealots was Monolith Bear. Nice. I think I was like 10 points under. It was only a 350-point tournament, but I had all that disgustingness in my list. You've got Fiora and the Avatar as a beat stick, and you've got Fiora and the Zealots as crowd control. And even the Zealots can do beat stick if they have to.
Oh, yeah. They're not the greatest at it, but
right.
They're definitely good at just running in and tying up the enemy, if nothing
Absolutely.
Else.
For my second list, I put together a Severius list, because I haven't played him in for a while. And my first thought was, all right, Severius, some other stuff, and Idrian's need an attachment.
Oh, that's even more wrong.
I decided to change, because I didn't want to bring another really over-top list, and instead I put Severius, and I decided he needs an Arc Node. It's Severius. Guy needs an Arc Node. But you can't really use a light in 1-1-1-1, in my opinion. You need a beat stick.
You need something that can take the damage and also dish it
out.
Well,
that's a problem. I went with the Guardian. I gambled on the taking damage side of it.
This is true.
So I decided I wanted a reach heavy. Popular strength 17, crit pitch is pretty good.
Yeah, you can't argue
but
that.
But the arc note, the flexibility of the model is what won it out for me. Then I decided to have fun with my unit selection, and I threw in full cleansers.
That's interesting.
It is. And then I decided I wanted a little bit of maneuverability, because even cleansers are only speed 5, so I decided for my solo, instead of going with instead of going with Vilmon, I went with Gravis.
Gives you a little maneuverability with your slower list.
And some extra speed, and the whole thing, I mean, even if you charge in and kill him and unhorse him, I'm going to put him at the back of his base so you can't kill him right away. And I did that a couple times. So, you know, there was some interesting flexibility with him. And that was actually the list I wound up taking the first two turns, and I was playing new people.
Well, and that's also, you know, you talked about the whole Gravis base trick. That's something that a new player may not have seen before.
I'm pretty sure.
Which is something to learn. You
my,
know,
my first opponent didn't unhorse Gravis, but my second one did. And that's what I did. And he's like, well, why do you get to put him back there? I said, well, it's a placement effect. And when you place someone, the rules for Dragoon says you can place the unmounted version anywhere within the base completely of the mounted version. And so I can choose to put it all the way in the back and back myself out of melee. He's like, oh, that kind of stinks. Like, well, yeah, but you've got 5 sword knights around him, so he's not going to live.
Yeah, he's
not
going to
live, but he's going to tie you here too. So, I mean, I was like explaining, well, this is also why I'm doing it.
Right.
But the list actually turned out pretty decent. My cleansers advanced mostly with Holy Vigil every turn. That's defense 16 cleansers. And I wasn't facing a whole lot of AoEs, so I didn't have to worry about getting hit in the back. So they kind of formed, not base to base, but they kind of formed a more or less skirmish wall.
Right.
Which was pretty cool. I actually got some, with Eye of Minoth, their Rat 6, no, the Rat 5 spray. The Rat 6 sprays, they're 5 normal. And it's palpable strength 13. That's not bad.
Not at all.
And I actually burned up a couple of champions in a turn.
That's funny. Well, without the Creel Stone to boost them to obscene armor.
They're only 17s.
It's right on that curve.
Yep. So they were there, and they mostly, they would be roadblocks or sprays, and eventually it would start exploding, even if it meant stabbing them in the back to kill them, just to set stuff on fire. The Guardian was there to, I would never want the Guardian out front. I kind of kept him far enough back that he would be behind at least a cleanser or two. And like at one point, I got a troll player to charge cleansers with his Mauler and kill a bunch of them under Madrak's feet, but then I was able to charge it with the Guardian and Gravis to finish it off. So, I was able to not throw it too far out there.
Right.
And that was my main concern. Now, against someone with, like, a big shooty army, especially one that has a decent rat, those cleansers are going to get picked off quickly, and I'm going to get left with very little, because the Guardian, like we said, is frail.
Oh, yeah, he is.
So it's not the most solid list in the world, but it's pretty decent. I mean, it's got some good anti-infantry with explosions and ashes to ashes, and it's also got some decent assassination, because Levy can, like, throw a couple immolations and then send the Guardian in.
Right.
It worked out pretty good.
You know, in the early days, and Julie... Pretty Jewel can attest to this. Sevi used to frustrate me to no end. Because, it was maybe around the time of Escalation, so at most I had the 3 regulars and Irisk.
Yeah.
And Vlad, for a very regular Vlad for a very long time, was my go-to guy. Just because I didn't really care for the whole Sorsha thing, and Butcher at that time wasn't really my play style. And, man, I'd get up there and you start doing stuff, and then he'd pop that feet, and I'd be like, and now I'm dead. Every time. I just used to get frustrated to no end with him.
Yeah, well, my second game I played, it was against a Striker player who sent in a bunch of Sword Knights under Arcane Shield, Invincibility, and touching someone.
Well, it's like Armor 24.
I still 25. Killed one with a spray.
Excellent.
This just a stupid roll. I think it was when it wasn't touching, it was his buddy. But I Holy Vigil walked my cleansers into his line and then Holy Vigil. So kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
But it was like, okay, well, Sevi walks up, and I'm going to feat. It's like, well, what's your feat do? It's like, well, next turn, you can't cast spells, and you don't get focus. So you can't upkeep Arcane Shield. It's like, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It is a setup feat. That's what it does.
Oh, yeah. It sets it up for the next turn.
I was able to kill Striker next turn because he had no focus. But, I mean, that was the point of the feat. And, he hated it. But, again,
I can see that.
It was one of those things where I feated, and... You know, he obviously asked, well, what does your feat do? And I, laid out what it was. And I went ahead and told him, and here's why I'm doing it. You know, you're not going to be able to upkeep your spell, and you're not going to be able to camp on focus next turn. So I'm hoping to get you.
Stripping you down, hoping to get you next the turn after that turn. Yeah.
It was not a very competitive list, but it was actually fun to play.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't play Gravis much. It's like Gravis without Knight's Exemplar. Half his bonuses are gone, but he's still fast.
Like one base attack, and that's about it.
You know, I was going to say I should have put in Stannis, but he's not a Dragoon, so...
No. The Dragoon buys you a little extra beefiness or survivability.
Mm-hmm.
Some interesting lists. I keep trying to make 1-1-1 lists. That's probably only 3. That's probably why I can't make a good one.
Yeah, there you go.
I've come up with some fun Kador ones, like Old Witch, the Behemoth... Unit of Grey Lords and Gorman to Wolf, and it's like right at or right under 350.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's and I've played the Behemoth as my battle group game,
mm-hmm.
and I just get completely amused by it because I just say I'll play the shooting platform game, and I throw out the Murder of Crows in front of them, and then when Gorman comes in, he throws another three inch right next to it, so you got touching clouds, and because of Augury. You just stand back and get the aiming bonus and shoot right through your clouds at people as they come into you. And then hopefully you can line something up with the Scrapjack for a Strangling Chains to pull in for the Behemoth to beat down or something. It's a fun list. I've I've toyed with doing a Zerkova list and doing the theme, you know, the Zerkova, it would probably be Beast 09 and then a Colden and a Grey Lord unit, but I think that's actually under points. Like, it's too low to even play. I'd have to actually point it out to make sure.
Well, let's try and break this stuff down.
Break it down?
So let's start with the Severius list.
The Severius list?
The first strength is he can't be targeted by spells. So he's going to be a little bit better against some of the spell assassins.
Right.
What else do we have? We've got, you know, we have an arc node, but the weakness is if you can get it in melee, you're going to crush it because that's an extra system that's going to go out
system,
quick.
Right.
Can't wait for the Mark II Guardian.
I think Mark II in general is going to be very well received.
I think it's, I think it's got some good strength against especially like shield wall stuff because with fire and the explosions, but the big weakness is AoEs. AoEs behind the cleansers are going to take most of them out. And Gravis is a fast weapon master, but he doesn't have Thresher. He's not going to get Grim Resolve tokens because there's no exemplars in the army.
Right.
So he's even limited.
Hmm.
So strength-wise, you're going to do pretty good even without a melee force against melee lists.
Right.
Because you can tie him up with your defense 16 and then explode your cleansers. So that'll be good. But a shooty list, even long gunners, you know, a couple double taps on your cleansers and just start whittling them down.
Double taps with some CRAs, you'll lose a big chunk of that unit pretty quick. Did you play a full unit of 10? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I could also throw them with the Guardian.
Well, yeah, you could crit pitch them and be like, oh, look.
Or no, actually,
you could actually throw them too. That's true.
Wouldn't be very good at it, but it's possible. So, it's very much a gimmicky list.
Oh, absolutely.
You're trying to use the cleanses as a surprising tar pit, and then counterattack, basically. Stuff that goes through your models. Like, if I had seen a Gorshade Soulgate Ghost Raider list, I would have been in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Or a Denegra Ghostly Nightmare going through my lines and just getting the Sevii. Anything can get to Sevii in melee, even ranged.
He's only defense 14, right?
Yeah, and 14 armor.
So you could actually, if you can close with him, it's going to hurt him pretty easily.
Yep. And you can close with him very easily because if you either have an AoE or a way to wreck the Guardian, my lines crumble. So that's basically my biggest weakness is a battle of attrition because I can't win.
Right.
And with no Arc Node, that forces Severius to get up much closer. So you got that.
Okay.
So, yep, it's a gimmicky list. It's not one of those take-all comers, but it's fun.
How would I deal with the Severius list? From a caterer perspective?
Well, in general. I mean, we should talk about all the
factions. Yeah, in general. We can touch on all the factions. I'll start with caterer because it's what I have the most experience with. I think I can go, even though you have a high enough defense, or, you know, fairly high defense, I think I have enough high mat stuff and high damage output that I think I can get kind of around. You know, I can mitigate it to a certain extent. I can tar pit probably better than that list could.
Yeah, but if you're tar pitting me, you're actually working to my
to
what
your
I'm trying
advantage.
To do.
Right.
I mean, think of the champions that came at me.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty good, but basically I was able to tie them up, explode a couple guys, and then tie them up more.
They're only good if they can hit that first time. I mean, they have to hit to start getting that bonus going. And, you know, they're only, what, a mat 7 or 8 if it's the leader to start with. So, I mean, you almost have to put your leader up front to get that mat 8 so you can possibly hit the 16 first and then start chaining it up and getting it better. So
I think the Behemoth is my battle group list would work fine. Because the Behemoth is going to send AoEs into the back ones.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's going to drift and start blowing them up, and they're going to kill each other, and they're going to be gone.
Because he can fire while in melee, it's like, I don't care if you run up and engage
Well, then
me.
On top of that, I mean, you string lane chains and the Guardian, if you can get it, because I can't choir.
Right.
And pull that in, and the Behemoth wrecks it.
Oh,
and
then
that's 90% of my force gone. And you still got your unit in solo that we haven't even talked about yet.
Right.
So,
well, and the Grey Lords could throw out Blizzards to slow you down more if I needed to. And the POW 12 sprays, I mean, you might not get, you might not be able to get into to be able to hit. They're only a mat 5. So, you know, hitting the 16s is unlikely. You'd be better to go with the magic attack of 7 and going for the sprays and maybe clipping 1 or 2. I mean, if even spread out, I think each spray may get 1 or 2 guys. So, I mean, you have a good chance of doing that.
Yep.
And the cleansers are only, what, mat 5? 6 under the eyeball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're still going to need 8s to hit the Grey Lord's back in combat.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you could probably just blow one up in the back,
yeah,
and that would
exactly
just take care of them.
The biggest strength the cleansers have is trying to come back from a tar pit like that. it's a little interesting way to do it. I think that AoE is your best bet, or in Mark II, like Assault Commandos, because they don't care about fire.
Right. They go, okay, blow up, I'll just
shoot you. No, you don't even blow up in Mark II.
Oh, that's right. You know, you just spray them down and hope to kill them in combat. And they have two melee attacks, the blade and the shield, and you know they can attack back, and between the two of them, they might actually get through and get you.
But even like Signar, I don't know what melee force you'd take, but if you take long gunners, it'd probably be okay.
Yeah, I could see Stormguard, because they have CMA, and then they CMA, and then they bounce.
Right.
So they go, oh, look, I hit one guy, finally, and then I bounce to the nearest non-Stormguard model. Oh, look, I popped another one, POW 10. Because their armor is only, what, 15?
14, 14.
So, I mean, you can
get
around it.
I think that sniped either Black 13th or even Gun Mages with their decent rat.
Snipe Black 13th is just crazy in Mark.
Even
Mark
if you 1. Can't hit Severius for whatever reason, which if you could, he's dead.
Right.
You could take out Cleansers really quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they're a rat 7 or 8 or something.
Or if you could take the
take
the Signar,
so you can Earthquake them and knock them down.
The Signar, actually, that's another good point. Well, if you knock them down, Holy Vigil goes away.
Oh, that's true.
Until they move or get knocked down. And one of them gets moved or knocked down, that's it.
Hmm. All right, going back to Kator, you could take a Devastator and bulldoze one.
Sure.
Because armor 25 is not going to be easy to get around.
No, not at all. I'm going to have to pitch that thing.
Oh, yeah, you would.
I think the Behemoth is their best bet.
Oh, yeah.
I think that with Signar, knocking him down is really good. Because then it goes away. And you can just, even if you knock one down.
Even if you took an Ironclad and just Tremored to knock him down. And then have your stuff
go.
No, because
you got to go roll above their 16.
Oh, their defense, yeah.
Yeah.
But you get to roll against every guy. If you get two or three in, you might.
No, you make one roll.
Is it one roll?
It's one roll.
Oh, well, that's not that good then. Can you boost it?
Nope, because in Mark II,
Mark
you
II,
can.
You can. That's right. I'm starting to get my. Yep. Now we're getting near the end. I'm starting to get some of my stuff confused.
Tricks. You've got the obvious bile thralls. All their stuff that's going to work still. Like we said, Ghost Raiders going through the army. If that's what your goal is, I mean, because if they charge Severius, if he's been given his focus as the Guardian, then he's in trouble.
Be hurt. Yeah.
The thing is, he's got Ashes to Ashes, but that costs four focus. And if he rolls low on his additional target die,
he's still going to die.
Yeah, he's not going to kill him fast enough. So you've got some decent options. Even as Crix, you can't spell him, but there's always target your own stuff.
Right.
You know, run something up next to him, target that with Scourge if you're playing Denegra, knock it down. A Morton Ebro list with Jax, you're not going to have many Jax, but you can
You can take the Nightmare and do the Ghostly trick on the free trample, you know, whatever.
I thought the Ghostly thing was only Denegra.
No, you get Stealth when you...
That's right,
that's the Infinity. Ghostly is the imprint.
Nightmare's actually pretty decent, especially because he's got that 2-inch reach, you can tie
up. Oh, yeah. He can close really quick.
And you get 2-hand throw, for example, the Guardian.
Mercs are kind of the oddball in this format, but I also think that some of the funnest part of the Mercs in this format is that you just come up with these goofy, wacky things.
We had one guy running Privateers, and his unit was the Commodore.
That's hilarious.
It was Shay.
Shay a Mariner?
No, Shay a...
Oh, Freebooter.
Payday dude.
Rockbottom.
Rockbottom. I can't remember the names. Rockbottom and the Commodore.
So he's like paydaying the... The Commodore every turn.
Yep.
Ooh.
He actually smoked Irisk in the face with a cannonball.
That's awesome.
Didn't kill him.
Here, eat this.
Yep. Oosh. Yep. Hmm. I think that one of the best Merc 1-on-1 lists, though, is Gorton, the Bear. I would go the Driller and then the Hammer guys.
Hammer guys. See, I go with a Blaster for infantry killing power. I mean, those lights are pretty sturdy with armor 18 for a light. And move up in one focus to boost all your spray rolls. I think you can clear out some infantry
pretty true.
Well.
But yeah, I think either one of those would be all right. Even something especially like, throw Gorton behind some of the cleansers.
Mm-hmm.
And he can move and maybe cap a couple in the back.
And then use the feet to drag in Sevi and be like, that's all she wrote.
Yep.
And -3 defense. Then defense 11 Sevi is dead.
One strength of granite attack would kill him.
Yeah, but that's a waste of focus.
Well, yeah. But I think that that's the problem there is you can't get through the list. Yeah. What about the Fiora list? Number one, all your infantry is going to be on fire.
Everything's going to be on fire most likely at some point.
Yep. Hmm. Now I'll talk about my finals game. I played against a Terminus list with the Deathjack and Bile Thralls.
Wow.
The round before that, I played against Gorshade, Tartarus, Bane Knights, and Nightmare. That was rough.
Fun. Here's an extra free unit.
Yeah, well, I was able to get out of his... Well, Nightmare charged in. And the Avatar walked over and killed it, and so it exploded and set all the Banes on fire.
Ooh, good.
And then I walked just out of the feet and feeded to catch the rest of the Banes on fire.
Nice.
So, yeah, everything was on fire there. And my final game, I was able to bomb a lot of the Bile Thralls and get a lucky deviation on the Rengrave. And the Avatar would gaze and then run up to near Terminus after it got enlivened. So, that's sick. So Terminus couldn't melee Fiora. Oh, but yeah,
can't get near me. Have fun.
In that list, on top of that, you've got to remember Firewall. For two focus, if your infantry charges through this area, they're dead.
They auto take an auto point or something?
Auto 12.
Oh, and fire.
And fire. So it's really good. But yeah, Fiora was camping on at least four focus every turn, and the Avatar was generating an own. I had the Vassal to help him out. And then there's the Zealots that can hold.
The Zealots can hold their own.
Yep.
Especially you have the Monolith Bear in there. They're solid.
Mm-hmm.
That's craziness.
My game, the game in the finals, I charged the Deathjack after I used Gaze to keep Terminus in the back after all the Biles were dead except one. And I charged in and hit it after I cast Engine Destruction with one thing and stripped off two columns. I took the Cortex and the Arm.
Ouch.
In one hit.
Blood of Queens every time.
And then with her remaining attacks, I missed once. I only needed 5 zit. I missed once and failed to break armor 2 times. Popless Strength 17. I failed to break armor.
And then you died.
Yeah, well, what happened was he shifted over and he killed a Zealot to regrow his other arm.
Nice.
Under Demoniac. He had to roll an 8.
He got lucky. Yeah.
And then with his extra attack from his first arm, 2 from his second arm, and 2 from his tusks, he hit with 2 of them, but that was all he needed to kill Fiora.
Yeah,
and that sucked. But it was a fun game, and it would have worked with decent die rolls. But it was
sounds
fun.
Like it was like kind of the comedy of errors. Like, okay,
yeah.
I luckily got my arm back, and now I'm gonna go for these last ditch attack to kill you.
He rolled 8s to hit and got 2 of them, The first one was damage roll of 11 unboosted.
Ooh, yeah. That's rough.
So I got eaten.
Hmm.
It was all right, but it was fun. The tar pit of Gaze of Minoth is just really good in that format, especially with Enliven. Because, I can't get further from it. I guess I'll just charge it. And then it'll walk away.
To look at a Mark II version, that's even worse because it's not like if I were going against that with, like, the old Witch list, I would just Ice Cage the Avatar and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, I'll just Ice Cage it every turn as long as there's no Zealots coming.
Oh, with 3 Grey Lords?
Yeah, hopefully. And Mark II, you can't do that. They die.
Oh, wait, no. I'm sorry. We're talking about Mark II?
Yeah.
Avatar can't be targeted by spells.
Well, right. That's pretty sick. I think the old Witch list would be pretty solid against that. Because I can use the feet to pin the Zealots in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could just shift a Murderer Crows to get a big chunk of the unit. So you can move and take the 14 and die or not. And I might get a chunk of your guys with the POW 8.
Well, is it if you end your activation in it?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you don't catch the Monolith there, they could stand still Holy Monolith and none of them.
Well, right, but I.
But
know.
Then they're still doing that further away from
you.
Yeah,
they're using it defensively versus offensively.
Yep.
They would still take the POW 14 from the feet, though, wouldn't they?
Only if they moved.
Only if they moved. Okay. Yeah, and then.
Zealots are a pain, and the best way to deal with them are Bile Thralls. And if you're not Crix in 1-1-1-1
format,
yeah,
absolutely.
It's tougher.
I think I'd have to go on the 3 focus on the Behemoth's main cortex and hopefully Strangling Chain the Avatar closer so he can walk up and just be like, I'm just going to beat you down and hopefully armor pierce you to death. And even if you take out the sword, then it's like, okay, I don't care. I can wait another turn to
get
you.
Does Strangling... Well, you can't Strangling Chain at Mark 2. Is Strangling Chains knock you down?
No.
Well, you can't gallows them either. It can't be targeted by spells.
Well, right. Mark 2, but I'm just
if it doesn't knock me down and you pull me in with Strangling Chains, then I walk 5 inches.
True.
So even though I'm walking 5 inches from where you pull me 2, that might get me out of the Behemoth's range if I can put
something between. Oh, it could very well. Or you just back up.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's that's the thing about Enliven is it's just dumb
first
tricky.
First target.
Vassal. Oh, yeah.
Is the first target. AoEs, go get them.
That's what Brachus did after I enlivened him once. He's like, yeah, I need to Hellfire the Vassal. And he missed it.
Oh, Well, and doesn't the Vassal get armor bonus for being in base to base? So if Fiora camps focus, it's just like, oh, look.
Well, if he has to be in base to base, like the Jack, he gets a bonus.
I thought he was. Oh, it's the Jack.
You're thinking of the Hierophant that gets.
Yeah, the Hierophant is what I was thinking of. Sorry. Signar doesn't necessarily have an easy answer either.
Well, I think Signar has enough that they could snipe the Vassal.
They could.
And that right there.
Or to deal with
down.
The Zealots, you know, if they took Haley or regular Nemo, you could go, oh, look, I chain lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Each guy can do it twice and send it through.
TB's going to hurt a lot.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. I didn't want to go to that answer. I was going for the creative solution first.
The only thing is, I mean, you can take my army, and then you're going to have to get through armor 23 Fiora. Because
it definitely won't be Haley doing that. That would have to be the Jack or whatever.
And, yeah, and Fiora would basically try and get to Haley as quick as possible. Mm-hmm. And if she engines and destructions, walks, and throws two boosted sprays.
Oh, yeah. It's hurt.
I mean, her speed becomes her speed's eight when she casts
yeah.
that. She could go four under temporal barrier and spray another eight. So if she can get within 12 of you, then she's going to do it. And that's the thing. I killed your old witch that one time.
Oh, great game! And I had everything set up.
Just
I had
a little
you
too
locked
close.
Down. And it actually, what it came down to is, I forgot to. I actually could have moved my normal movement and. I could have run, and I would have been fine, too, but I could have just walked and been out of your spray range. Dang, spray got
I guess engine instruction walked around some horses. Luckily, they missed me on the free strikes, and I got within range and fully boosted two sprays.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. My favorite part of that game was killing Vilmon on the feet damage roll.
Yep.
Because you're like, I'm going to walk, I'll survive it.
I got
to
try
it. No, you won't.
That was dumb. You had to roll 9 to kill him. Oh, look, 11.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Yep.
If I don't even win this game, that was the victory.
Yep. But, yeah, that's a tough list to deal with.
It is.
Especially, I mean, it's going to be coming at you quick, and it's going to be hard to finish it off. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I mean, we're talking, the Behemoth would have some problem. I mean, the Zealots are the biggest thing.
They're like, the deal breaker, really, is what it comes down to.
Because you got to do something about them.
You got to either kill, you know, killing the priest as an optimal target in the first turn is always, you know, first or second turn is always good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's my target over the Mileth Bear. Fervor is just killer.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't Fervor, a lot of times, even when you dead hit, you're not going to get through the 21 armor of the Behemoth or, you know, things like
that.
Oh,
yeah. No, they wouldn't work on the Behemoth. That's too low a pile. It's 16 when they prayer.
Yeah.
And 14 otherwise. So
right.
They're much better throwing for a Warcaster and hoping for a deviation.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll take some pound nines in the old witch.
Crit fire? And she's only a 14 armor.
Yeah. Well, you can't crit on a miss, though.
No, but I'm saying if you were to luckily get.
That'd
you know,
be awesome if you could crit on a miss.
You know what I meant.
Drift and cause fire.
And just have auto fire. Then you just throw and miss anyway. It's like taking the Redeemer.
Yep.
Epic
Fuhrer. Yep. That'd be awesome.
Which in Mark II, if this format stays around, and you can still take epics at any point level, it'd be Epic Fiora and a Redeemer.
Yeah.
Spread the fire around.
No, I wouldn't.
Lights are still a liability.
I would take a Vanquisher because it's auto fire anyway, but, you know. Eh.
Well, what that does then is when you bond it, then it's like my melee weapons also auto fire.
Well, yeah, and it also does the thing where you can give it 4 focus.
This is true.
And that's the big deal.
Hmm.
You know who I want to see in the 1-1-1 format?
What?
I want to see what Epic Thagrosh looks like.
That would be fun. Assuming that he keeps a lot of his rules, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting.
My bet, and I've said this before, is if Terminus is any indication of what the Legion's going to get, that Thagrosh just gets the same flight rules as Terminus.
Right.
And loses hubris.
Well, yeah, it combines them both into one
kind
rule.
Well, you can walk away, you just take free strike.
Free strike, right.
Yeah, I think hubris was a big deal on Epic Thagrosh because he could fly over stuff.
Right.
Now he can't.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll see how that works. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I actually didn't see many Hordes players. I think there were a couple Troll players, actually.
Trolls, I think, actually have the best ability to play in that format.
I think the Legion is
well, yeah, the Legion's got some good options. It depends on what Warlock you take and what Beast you take.
I think your three best Warlocks for Legion are going to be Saren, because their feet can usually cover the table.
Lilith
and Ryas, because they're low fury.
Right.
And Typhon is a really strong
Typhon's
beast.
The obvious choice, yeah.
Now, I saw one guy playing
Sprays and the Fling.
Yeah, I saw one guy playing Saren and an Angelius,
That works.
And see, his units were, I think, swordsmen and striders, and he brought the sorceress. You brought Miss Turner.
Miss Turner. And we don't mean from Pirates. We're talking Tina Turner.
That would actually be an okay list to face with either of mine, I think, because I have ranged stuff.
Well, that and the... could you take Incubi as your solos?
It depends.
How does that work?
Well, technically, anytime you... Well, in our format, if you bought a model, you get all the models that came with it. If you buy an Incubi, you get the other four.
Right, but aren't they listed as solos, plural, not...
You buy...
Not Legion solo?
Right, you pay 55 points.
To get five.
You get one, and then you get the other four for free.
Okay.
It is. It's a little goofy. That would actually... Oh, man. Ryas, Incubi, Swordsman, and Typhon.
Uh-huh. That's what I was thinking. And you take Typhon for the Beast. This is wrong. Especially on that feat.
Yep.
Move and then fling.
Fling, move, fling, move, fling. Oh, eat your Warcaster.
Oh, look. Your Warcaster's knocked down.
Yay!
Ryas, Ninja flips, and it's dead. Good game.
Yep.
You know, I figure Grimm is always a solid choice for the trolls.
I saw him get played.
I'd have to go Grimm and Impaler. He's the one that you'd take a light with because you want the Impaler for shooting at long range.
And Blitzer.
Crit Slam is Blitzer. Always nice, too. Well, yeah, Blitzer's cool. I think Champion is just kind of the go-to unit.
I think so. They're just too good.
They're too good, and
maybe
they're cheap.
Maybe Fellblades or Fenblades when they come out.
Fenblades would be cool. Because they're good at receiving the charge.
Or you could do the Cav and bring Horthal.
That's what I was thinking, too. That'd be a fun list. Put Grimm with Return Fire on the Cav. So, oh, look, you... not that you're going to miss defense 12 on the trolls. But if you did, then he's like, oh, look, I swing back.
Mm-hmm.
That and the follow-up if you decided to do the Bull Rush order.
How about instead of Incubi and Swordsman, we bring the War Chief and Warmongers with Ryas.
It's pretty sick, too. Or if War Spears are out, that'd be fun for the ranged element.
Yeah. Shunk.
Scorn.
We're getting off topic. We're just picking out random stuff.
Well, you know, we're going by... I was just going by... You know, we talk about each faction, so I was trying to come up with a good idea for a 1-1-1 list.
What about the new Bloodrunners?
I was thinking about that.
With their
the Tormentor.
And bring Morgul.
Bring Morgul. And then...
Rhinodon,
you could.
I think for the armor.
For the armor. But then you got to turn it around to get the higher armor. Because it's in the back arc.
That's true.
Armor. I'd almost say Bronzeback is just a beefy guy that can take a hit or two.
Redeem's solid, too.
Redeem, well, yeah. Is he out yet?
Yeah.
He already came out? I gotta pick him up.
Redeem would be
I'm
solid,
I'm a little
but
behind
expensive.
In my hordes purchases.
But with Bloodrunner, since you're not, you know, adding... Are they a 6 only, or they go up to 10?
No, they're 6 only.
So you probably have points for Redeem if you want him instead of the Bloodrunner unit.
Yeah, but it's all about the flank and the cool stuff that they can do.
Sure, but if you walk forward and leap over their army and charge a Warcaster with Redeem, you don't need to worry about flanking with
this
the Bloodrunners.
This is true. Mordekaar, go with Moloch Karn for the heavy.
Oh, you bring
as many Cav as you can fit and Redeem. It's probably a minimum unit of Cav and Redeem.
Just put Moloch in with Morgul too.
That's a good idea. Ooh, here's a fun one.
Uh-oh.
Xerxes. Moloch Karn. Your solo's an Agonizer, so you can dump Fury into it. You got Fury to pull from next, you know, the turn if you need it. And it also, he can limit beasts and Arknodes and stuff a little bit. My unit would either have to be Satrati, full unit of Satrati if I could fit him in, or... a full unit of
Karax,
because they're good against AoEs, they have set defense, and Xerxes can charge through them if he needs to. And the Agonizer, I think, no, he's not a warrior model.
An Ancestral Guardian?
Or is he a warrior model?
Yeah.
Agonizer. So he could run through it if he activates something if he needed to.
I think that the Ancestral Guardian is pretty solid, too.
Oh, yeah. Same with the Soul Ward and, you know.
I mean, it depends on what... The Soul Ward, it depends what you're bringing.
If I went all ranged, it'd be worth taking.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Cannoneer and Venators, that'd be pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. But you don't usually have that luxury in the 1-1-1-1.
No, you don't. You usually have to build a generalist list that can take all comers. Circle. Kruger's kind of the auto choice, isn't he, with the feet?
Or Balder.
Balder's fun, too. Yeah, I enjoy Balder a lot more than I do Kruger.
In Mark 2, Epic Kayak, you should bring two beasts.
There is that. Chromax is always a solid choice because he's a killing
machine.
Yeah,
you can't fill up his fury, though. That's a problem.
No. And you're shafted half the time because you're playing War Machine.
Yeah.
But taking something like a Pure Blood.
I think Morvana would be good because she's got the Stealth Fury Factory and she's got Regrowth so she can, you know...
Bring back units.
Keep bringing stuff back and whittle your opponent down.
And her feat's not shabby with only one unit of infantry blowing up and getting a boosted strength roll is not a bad way of doing it.
I'd probably run her with Wolves just for the
the quantity. Crazy,
just for the quantity.
The maybe a Pure Blood or a Gorax with her.
She'd have to stay kind of close, though, to get her Fury focus. But yeah, I think that she definitely need one of the Wolves.
And this is the format where you could almost make Eruption of Life work. Kill a model, and then, oh, look, there's delicious fruit tokens hanging out there.
Yeah.
Go get them, little wolves.
Maybe. Maybe for your solo, bring a werewolf.
Oh, yeah. Make it the speedy, hard-hitting.
Got some options.
It is some options. That are some options.
What about the minions?
Minions, yeah.
That's another option. Don't forget you got your lesser minion warlocks.
You could always... Oh, yeah. I love me some Gatormen.
Here's a list for you. Ryas, Typhon... I'm going to go Swordsman and Brine.
Rorsch and Brine. You like you some R&B.
Well, it's another, I mean, or even the Gators.
I would go with Wrong Eye and Snapdraw because Submerged, in this format, that's a pretty potent animus for, oh, look, we can't be targeted by range of magic.
Yep.
And then he's going to death roll you. Favorite ability of all times, crit death roll.
But yeah, I mean, there's some options there.
Yeah.
All right, so that does it for our unfortunately abbreviated episode, Stupid Technology.
Dang, internets, I tell you.
All the tubes are clogged with dump trucks and stuff. Al Gore needs to do a better job of the next internet. That's all I'm saying.
Between that and potatoes with Dan Quayle, you know, we'll be set.
The new internet is the potato of internet. I don't know.
I don't know where we're going with this.
It's a potato.
I think it's time to end this.
It's potato-y.
It's potato-y or tomato-y for Josh.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
All right. So next week we'll be back with probably redoing the episode it isn't and then make it the episode it is. And then.
It's a shame that because I was really getting.
We
were getting into it and it was really good.
We literally record for 2 hours before Audacity died and was unrecoverable. I'm going to kill my computer. All right. I'm gonna stop this before I start crying. See you guys.
Just take it easy.
Contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2009 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided courtesy of Joshua Salter.